Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle here with me. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Looking ahead to spring as a theme here. We're continuing our spring storylines series coming up in just a moment with cornerbacks and quarterbacks. We're going to get into the offense a little bit this week. All those segments are available on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We'll get into Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions, and we'll round things out. Brandon Pelter joins us to talk about Penn State wrestling, just wrapping up a fourth straight unbeaten regular season, which I don't care what sport you're talking about. That is just another impressive part of Cale Sanderson's program. And there's been a lot of impressive parts to that program. So we'll get into that. But first, I do want to continue with this storyline series, Greg, and cornerback. I guess the storyline is that there aren't many storylines in this position, because it's a position I feel like the past 3-4 years, really since James Franklin arrived, they've recruited it well, mm-hmm. they've developed it well, they've deployed them well, they've played good, solid, sound football. The one thing I guess you could look at cornerback is the ability to take the ball away, which you're seeing that a little bit more recently. They've also had, in back-to-back years, and what we can start with this, is one of those long cornerbacks become a legitimate NFL draft prospect. 2 years ago, Christian Campbell. Amani Oruwariye has a chance to get into that first-round conversation this year because of what he did on the field. And my question would be, is Tariq Castro-Fields, can he be in the same neighborhood as them? I think the answer is yes.
I think it is, too. And I think the biggest thing with Castro Fields is I saw a lot of things to indicate that he was making this biggest step forward of his career last year, and it was at a time when he needed to do it. Now, obviously, he'll want to either match or exceed that in 2019. But, excuse me, I just thought he was very active when he was in there. I thought there was at times a noticeable difference when he wasn't in there. And there's another guy we can talk about in a minute that I thought fell into that category. But no, you make a good point. Not only have they recruited the corner position really well during the James Franklin era, but they have also really been able to get a mixture of shorter guys, bigger guys, you know, guys that can really play against big receivers or tight ends, guys that can run with the fastest receiver in a slot on the other team. I mean, they have a nice mix, exactly kind of what you're looking for. And I think that obviously has really been a key part of why Penn State's defense under Brent Pry, and with Terry Smith helping to sort of run the ship as the corners coach, and he has a couple other titles as well. It's a reason why the defense has typically been among one of the better ones in college football, because those guys just continue to recruit the secondary well. And the more teams that, you know, come into the Big Ten, and obviously there's been a movement across college football and at Penn State and also in the Big Ten to throw the ball more and be a little bit more multiple in what you do. You need guys that can, again, you always needed guys that can play the run and play the pass, but it maybe is more important now than it's ever been. And you need guys that are versatile, maybe can play inside, outside, at corner, move back to safety if they need to in a nickel package. Tariq Castro-Fields did a little bit of everything in 2018 to get ready for what is going to be a breakout year for him in 2019.
And really, this is the way the football is going, but at Penn State, for sure, Tariq Castro-Fields was evidence of it. The line between – there's no steep drop-off anymore between your number two cornerback and your number three cornerback.
Right.
It's just the way the football has gone with more multi-wide receiver, three wide receiver type sets. That third cornerback is a big deal, and Tariq Castro-Fields has been in that role for a couple years, and now he's graduating into that. He's going to be on the boundary. He's going to be out there from the first snap of the game, and he's gotten so much experience and so many snaps in that third cornerback role that he's going to be ready for that. And I think one thing, and I know that we're getting ahead of ourselves just a little bit. He's a true sophomore now, be a true junior next year. I do believe he's a candidate to not come back for his fourth year. I think that he could be that good. One of the things that I love most about him, and I suspect anybody who watches film, NFL people or otherwise, his ability and willingness to engage as a tackler. You know, that has he has stopped a lot of plays in their tracks by making the tackle on the spot. You don't really see him, you know, and this is something that Penn State has struggled with at times in the James Franklin era is tackling in the open field. Right. I don't think he's ever really been a problem as far as that goes. He wants to be there. He wants to make the tackle. He wants to be physical.
Absolutely. You know, 32 stops for him a year ago, 5 tackles for loss, a sack. It looks like he was among one of the top guys on the team with pass breakup 7. So, you know, again, his job, and, you know, one of the things, to go back to something you mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the things I find most eye rolling about college football coaches is when they say, you know, oh, we really have 3 starters at X position, or, oh, we, you know, they're both starters. They're both capable of playing like a starter. We just had to pick one guy. It's like, well, okay. But it, more likely than not, it probably means you don't have one guy that's good enough to be the man. But you make a good point. At corner, it's actually true, because I would even argue that your 4th corner is not a lot far of a drop off from your 2nd corner. Like, I thought Donovan Johnson was an integral part of Penn State's defense in 2018, even though he technically, so according to the depth chart and the snap sheet, was a little bit further away from the starting group. I thought he was very good. Castro Field, the same thing.
So, yeah, with you know, he was Donovan Johnson, an integral part of the depth chart. Also an integral part, I think, in Zach McPherson opting to move on after his redshirt sophomore season, because Donovan Johnson had ascended to that point. And it seems to me like we haven't heard a ton from Trent Gordon since he enrolled last January and since last spring. But this spring might be the time where the Trent Gordon hype starts to heat up a little bit, because I didn't think there was any blowing smoke. I really walked away with the impression that they liked what they saw from Trent Gordon. He could be a candidate for that 4th corner spot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there'll be a couple of guys. I think it wouldn't be a shock to see one of the 2019 signees make a play for that. Obviously, Gordon, probably the leader in the clubhouse, just based on the fact that he hadn't been at Penn State longer, have some game experience. But, you know, they have a nice group of candidates there between, again, the 2019 signees, of which there were a handful, and then you have Gordon, who, even though we haven't heard much about him, sometimes no news can be good news in that regard. He wasn't going to necessarily jump into the corner fold in 2018. They just had too many guys on the roster. So, you know, but your 3rd string was Zach McPherson, so he obviously is moving on. And that means there's a spot open. He was the 3rd string guy at both corner spots. So Gordon will be next in line along with those 2019 signees. And we'll have to see who takes the first step forward in spring practice ahead and really sort of sets himself up to grab that position once summer camp arrives.
We're looking ahead to spring here. Spring storylines on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking at the cornerback position now. And we are looking ahead to spring and the blue-white game in April. And if you are, you got to check out gopsurv.com. They've got a special offer for Keystone Sports Network listeners. $350 is a starting point for a group of 4 people to tailgate all day Friday, Saturday, and get out of town on Sunday. Free parking there, free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. Admission for the game is free. All in all, you're just not going to do better than that from a financial standpoint. Also from an experience standpoint, which I always thought was the real highlight of GoPSURV.com in the first place. But if they're going to be selling RVs, renting them to you for that rate, $350 for a group of 4, you're just not going to do better than that. If you have the Keystone Sports app, or even if you don't, go out and get it. You can enter to win a free one as well. So either way, free or cheap, you're not going to do much better than gopsurv.com. Download the app. You got to be in by March 12th. The drawing's going to be March 14th. Simple process. Once you download the app, that takes about 8 seconds. Filling out the 3 fields, name and email address, takes another 7 seconds. 15 seconds, you could be in the drawing for a gopsurv.com RV. Check it all out.
We got a kickoff time for the blue white game now too. 3 p.m.
3 p.m. So
start time, not a kickoff time.
That is that's the sweet spot though.
Right.
Speaking of tailgating, 3 p.m. is the sweet spot.
It is.
Especially when you know you only have to show up for about 45 minutes of the game.
Right. And you can go right back to tailgating.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So there you go. looking at the cornerbacks, you mentioned the 2019 guys. It's an interesting group. I said a little earlier in the week, I do feel like one of these guys is going to be on the move. I'm not sure if it's going to be the spring or the summer or next year. I do think that if you're going to transition from somebody from cornerback to safety, you need at least a year to be able to fully do that. Mm-hmm. So the four guys who came in, Keaton Ellis, who, you know, there weren't many recruits in the country who exited the 2019 recruiting cycle on more of an upward trajectory than him. Phenomenal athlete that somehow was kept under wraps in state college, didn't really get a lot of attention because he committed early to Penn State.
Right.
Nobody really seemed to care, but he tested very, very well for Penn State's coaches, which is what drew the offer in the first place. And then you saw all that physical ability show up. He was a game changer at state college at the highest point of high school football in the state of Pennsylvania. So he deserved that 4-star at the end. He made a really big leap to the point where I do think that he can be a factor. If you look at all these four guys, Marquise Wilson, Joey Porter Jr., Daquan Hardy, who are listed at cornerbacks, I think Keaton Ellis is the guy who's most likely to make an impact right away. And he's on campus right now, so we're going to see him. We're going to hear from him in spring.
Yes, no question about it. He's a guy that if he was uncommitted, teams would have been fighting for him from all schools all over the country. But two things happened. He committed to Penn State right away, and school said, why are we going to fly to state college and waste our time trying to flip this kid who's committed to the school that he can legitimately walk to on a nice day if he wanted to? It just didn't make any sense. So because of that, he didn't get the lots of offers and visits. You know, people get interested in recruits, and they seem to have profile rises when they go on high-profile visits and so on and so forth. So he didn't do any of that, and because of that, I think he's flying a little bit under the radar. Terry Smith glowed about him during the December National Signing Day. I think he called him the best, had the best cornerback film in the country or something along those lines.
He did say that, yeah.
So, I mean, clearly they think the world of him. They're not, of course, not going to come out and say, ah, this film is definitely the worst. But I don't think that, you know, that it was even a conversation for anybody watching this inside or outside of Penn State's program. This kid is extremely talented. He could make an impact on special teams. He can make an impact as a corner. Needless to say, he is a guy that they will be able to get plenty out of during his time at Penn State.
Contender, I think, for that number four cornerback job. I really think so. I know they like Trent Gordon, but Keaton Ellis is just on a little different level than really most of the guys they've brought in at cornerback. And to think that he didn't get any attention before that. Marquise Wilson, Joey Porter Jr., similar guys, longer guys. I really like Joey Porter Jr.'s ability to stick with receivers. Does that translate to bigger, stronger, faster guys at the college level? Or is he a candidate at 6'2", 185 pounds to move on? Not on campus yet. Daquan Hardy was a late addition to the class. Speedy, aggressive, a little undersized, but Penn State seems to be okay with that.
It'll take a while to get him involved, but there could be a role for him down the road.
You talk about Hardy.
Hardy, yes.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, but and same for Joey Porter Jr. We're going to do the same thing here. We're going to flip the offense. We've been through the defense. You can check that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We're going to start looking at quarterbacks, spring storylines there right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.